Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals. Hello, and welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. My name's Deb Coviello, and I have the pleasure of introducing to you today Ben Baker. He is always storytelling and has been doing this all of his life. From a very young age, he realized that through telling stories, people listened to him, understood him, and engaged. Professionally, this is what he's been doing now for over two decades. He helps brands tell engaging stories that compel their customers to take action. His mission is to have brands stop being a commodity, instead be a brand worth loving. Ben is an international speaker and author of Powerful Personal Brands, contributing both to magazines, other people's books over the years, and leaving a lasting impression. Ben, welcome to the show. It's my pleasure to have you.
Deb, it is so great to share a mic with you. I mean, you and I have some great conversations, and I'm really looking forward to this. Now, I need to apologize, you know, with that book title, Powerful Personal Brands, because everybody trips up on it. It's that alliteration. I thought the alliteration, Powerful Personal Brands, would be great. It's amazing how many people get that stuck in their mouth. So,
actually, an excellent marketing ploy. If people have to think about how to say it, it sticks and leaves a lasting impression.
Absolutely.
So everybody, I met Ben through social media and perhaps mutual connections on LinkedIn. But what was really interesting is I believe in the beginning that Ben may have reached out to me. He was reading some of my content. He may have messaged me, given me some insight or contributed or even enriched the conversation. And I so appreciate when somebody takes the time to read, understand, and enrich. And so we then connected offline, got to know him, and you'll see through all of his references, he is true in person and offline. He's just genuine, very personable, simply wants to connect and help and elevate people and build meaningful relationships. So I absolutely had to bring him onto the show so he could share his insights with you. So again, thank you.
Very kind.
Just to bring our listeners up to speed, you've had an amazing journey, but can you share a little bit that journey and how have you arrived at the impactful work that you do now?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I don't want to go back to my childhood, but when I graduated from university, my degree was in Middle Eastern politics, international terrorism. I ran the mainframe at the University of Victoria. I spent the first 10 years of my career in high tech sales. About 1996, I was working for a company and I had one client that was worth about $100 million to me on a retail basis. And I was on a plane probably 200 days a year. And it had to change. And my wife and I looked at each other, and this is a divorce waiting to happen. And they were kind enough to buy me out. I gave them a couple different options. And they said, well, we have a third option. Why don't we buy you out? I said, perfect. You know, they were generous enough to do a couple things for me. One, they gave me enough money that I could actually take 4 to 6 months and actually take some time and figure out what I really wanted to do. And the second thing they did is they paid for me to take the what do you want to be when you grow up training. So I ended up hiring an industrial psychologist who actually happened to be a good friend of mine. And he ran me through an extreme battery of tests. You know, it's the Myers-Briggs and God knows what else. I think I answered more questions and got writer's cramp than I ever know what to do with. And what we assessed was two things. One, what I'm really good at is telling people's story by understanding who they are, what they do, why they do it, and helping them communicate that effectively. The number two thing I do is I work really well with large corporations. I don't work very well within large corporations. I speak truth to power. You know, if it's wrong, if I think that I don't agree with you, if I think that there's a better way of doing it, I'll tell you. You know, I'm never going to be somebody's yes person, any way, shape, or form. My job is to get the best out of your company. And you know what? I'll give you my opinion. I'll help you work through your problem. I'll help you solve your problem. I'll develop the workshops, the consulting, the strategy, whatever. And then let me walk out the door. and bring me back as you need me. And that really built my career, was those thought processes. I started off in direct mail, killed a lot of trees. We ended up putting promotional marketing together because we wanted something inside the direct mail to be able to get better open rates. I worked with the casino industry. I worked with the food industry. I worked with government. And about 10 years ago, I started realizing that I was spending a lot of time, less time tactical and more time strategic. I was going back and I was asking people, well, why? What is your brand? Who are you as a company? What's your value? Who are your customers? You know, why do they care about you? What makes you unique? What differentiates you? And I was getting a lot of blank looks. You know, I'm sitting there going, how do you expect me to develop marketing that's unique to you if we don't understand this? So I said, okay, let's take three steps backwards and let's go through those exercises. Let's go through the branding. And I realized two things. A, I had a really good knack for it. And B, I really enjoyed it. About 5 years ago, I came to this epiphany where I realized too many companies are branding themselves externally and not spending any time communicating the value of their brand internally. And that was really an epiphany for me, because I realized that we need to tell the brand of a story inside the company. If your employees understand your brand story, where you came from, where you are, what the challenges were that got you there, who you serve, why you serve them, the value that you provide, how they fit into that story, and how you all move forward together towards a common future, they're going to be engaged. They're going to be retained by the company. They're going to want to grow with the company, because every employee that you lose costs you $100,000 to replace. And it's staggering. The number is staggering. And we don't spend enough money at all by companies. We spend the money to hire them, and then we don't train them, and we don't onboard them, and we don't coach them, and we don't mentor them. And all of a sudden, you're sitting there, and had a conversation with somebody yesterday. You're 12 years into your career. Somebody tags you and said, okay, you're going to be the next vice president. And you've been a very good tactician, but you've never been given the skills and the opportunity and the knowledge you need to be a leader. And therefore, you have no idea how to lead. You have no idea whatsoever how to lead. You may be the best at what you do within the company, but it's a completely different skill set to lead a team of people and inspire a team of people, mentor a team, coach a team, train a team, how to do what you do. So that's where I really got to go. And my belief is leaders at all levels. We need to start off with the interns. We need to start off with the base level employees and teach them how to lead. And we have to get rid of the word manager. We have to get to frontline leaders, not frontline managers, and get rid of the managing process mentality, replace it with the leading of people mentality. So that's a pretty long answer to a very short question, but that's where our philosophy is how do we develop that next generation of leaders? How do we engage, retain, and grow employees? And how do we develop that brand story that ties it all together and moves everybody forward in a cohesive manner?
I can probably throw away the rest of my questions, because I can go in so many different directions with all this amazing insight and content. Another reason why I brought Ben on is he and I are in the same space. I too, through my journeys, I see great talent who are sometimes wanting to get to the next level, but nobody's mentoring them on what are those essential skills they need to get to that same level. And to Ben's point, sometimes we're promoted because we're strong technical experts, but now we have this gap between what the position we're in, but the skills we actually have. So we are on the same journey to correct that. But you bring up so many interesting points here. I mean, I'm going to take one direction now. And you talk about your insight to be able to read an organization and try to understand their brand. What are their values? What's the culture? What do they bring forward? What can we really work with in terms of internal messaging? You bring up a really good point about we do a really good job communicating externally. But I'll come back to the question about why don't we do a good job internally? One of the things that I thought was striking is that what you do for businesses in terms of recognizing and painting a picture of what their brand is that people can remember and they can message, shouldn't individuals also within an organization, when they enter into a new situation or a team, also seek to understand the culture, their past, their values in order for them to create a brand for what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's up to every employee. Too many people walk into businesses all excited. You know, they've just been hired. Maybe they've been unemployed for 6 months. You know, maybe it's their first job. Maybe it's a brand new position with a company that they, you know, is some killer company that they've always wanted to be in. And they're passionate, they're excited, and this, that, the other thing. And they want to, you know, do well, and they want to move forward, and they just want to succeed within the company. But they don't stop and look around first. And we need to stop and look around. I tell leaders, the first thing you do for the first 6 months as a leader is nothing. Your job for the first 6 months, and sometimes it's a year, depending on what level of leadership you're at, is to watch, to observe, to listen, to talk, to really dive into understanding what's going on within the company. You know, it's amazing. You look at mergers and acquisitions, and the first thing that the new parent company does to the company that they bought is they try to change them. Kills the culture. It kills the company, and they end up losing money hand over fist because they're trying to fix something that isn't broke. And most people walk into a situation and go, but I have a better idea without understanding what's going on in the company. And you absolutely may have a better way of doing things, but your goal walking into any situation within any company is to understand first, seek to understand first. If we understand the culture, if we understand the people, if we understand the politics, if we understand the nuances of the company, who are the customers? What do they do? Why do they do it? Why do they have these procedures in place and policies in place? Then you can come from a position of knowledge and say, you know what? I've been looking at this for 6 or 8 months. You know, in my previous company, we did this and it worked really well. I think if we modified it this way to be able to work within the policies and procedures that we have, I think we could get another 15 or 20%, you know, value out of this or whatever it is. But you come then from a position of credibility and a position of trust. You've taken those 6 months, 8 months, 12 months to actually build up that level of trust and that level of credibility within the company. And then when you open your mouth, and then when you start making suggestions, and then when you start saying, hey, listen, here's some opportunities for us to be better, you have a lot more credibility and a lot more people are willing to listen to you than if you walk in the door sounding like you know everything. And it goes both ways.
I definitely know what you're talking about. I also have been part of several mergers and acquisitions. And, you know, often we think it's about getting somebody onto the same ERP system, the same system that runs their business. And they give it to the business as an IT project versus starting, to your point, with the past, the culture, the politics, their intellectual property. And I'll tell you a quick story. I also had to go into a plant manager to say, we need to prepare to integrate you. And he out of the gate says, I don't need you. I said, I know how to run my business. I don't need you to tell me how to run my business. I said, come here, take a look around and understand what I do first. Because so often people will come in and say, this is what you need to do. And I'll tell you, when I spent time getting to know his people, his culture, and what was working well, only then did I have the insight to say, you know, this is where I see maybe you have a gap. And he absolutely agreed with me because he started to trust me. I saw what was working. And then we agreed upon what work we would do to solve the business problem he had. So beautifully said. And I would absolutely advocate to leaders, please, please. And I say leaders, not managers, leaders. It's a mindset. Think about when you go into new situations, seek to understand. Only then can you have an impact.
It's true. And leadership to me is a mentality. It's not a title. We need to get out of the philosophy that, you know, just because I have a title, I am entitled. You know, that is a horrible mentality for people to have, that I've got it. I'm a director. I know better. I'm a VP. I know better. You know what? As soon as we have that thing that we know everything, that's when we're going to fail. Because you know what? It is impossible to know everything about anything today. Knowledge changes in a heartbeat. Look at what happened with COVID-19. All these people that were comfortable in their leadership positions, they were happy, they were healthy, they were excited about what they're doing. Overnight, they had to lay off 150 people. They had to move 1,000 people home. They had to put through all of these different things that they have never done before. And all of a sudden, they went from being very comfortable in their own position and very comfortable doing what they're doing to be completely uncomfortable. And I've had to deal with a lot of those leaders over the last 6 or 8 or 12 weeks and be able to walk, first of all, walk them off a ledge. And second of all, get them to understand that this is a team sport. If we weren't playing a team sport before, this has got to be a team sport, because we need to sit there and say, everybody's got opinions. Everybody's got something that they can bring to the table. Everybody's got a skill set. You don't have to weight everything exactly the same. You don't have to take everybody's opinions as relevant, but you have to listen to them. You have to listen to them and incorporate them into what you know, and then be able to make a decision. Because if you're just relying on the space between your ears and what you're seeing right in front of you, you're missing what's to the left of you and you're missing to what's to the right of you. And that's what's going to kill you.
Yeah, so true. I also came to that realization in my last career. Certainly, I can put in so many hours, save the day, look like I'm the greatest problem solver. But until I paused and reflected and said, I'm not getting the results that I need or the outcome, what do I need to change? And it came to a point of examining my own leadership style. What were my values? How was I going to lead? And then ultimately coming to the realization I had to leverage the skilled and talented people around me. And how could I remove the barriers to help them achieve the result? It's not about me. It's all about them. So I love this conversation. You create so much content and you obviously have created powerful personal brands, but you've now moved on to writing a book around humanizing your corporate brand. So what insights and why are you moving forward with this new piece of work?
Well, I think it's the next level. I mean, the reason I wrote Powerful Personal Brands was, until you can know yourself, you can't lead other people. Until you're comfortable in your own skin, until you understand your own value, you know, what makes you special? What makes you different? What's your leadership style? What's your communication style? What are you good at? What you're bad at? What are you really, really bad at? And be able to embrace it all. You know, you do not have the skills needed to be a true leader. In my attitude, a true leader wakes up every morning and says, what do I need to do today to make my team better? What do I need to do and wake up every morning to give my team the tools that they need to succeed and to create that next level of leaders? You can't do that if you're not comfortable in your own skin. If you're always going, well, how is this going to reflect on me? What is this about me? What, and it's all got to be about me. And I people need to look at me and pay attention to me and all that kind of stuff. Nobody will. When you're the person that is, I call it leading from the middle, the person who's in the fray, you see those two images on the internet all the time about somebody in the front going, let's go, and somebody else sitting on the chair behind going, mush, mush, mush. I'm somewhere in between. My attitude is, I want a leader to be in the fray of things, pushing somebody a little bit forward, giving somebody else a gentle push, grabbing somebody from behind and giving them, helping them back. But the majority of people just want to see that you're in the fight with them, that you're in there and you're helping them succeed, and that you all have a shared common goal. So that was the philosophy of humanizing your corporate brand, because we've gotten to the world where we manage by metrics, the world of KPIs, and the world of acronyms. It's those key performance indicators, and what's the ROI on this, and how does this reflect within our budget, and all those things. And you know what? I'm a big believer of people plus purpose equals profit. People plus purpose equals profit. If we focus on our people, and that's our internal people, our vendors, our clients, our potential clients, those are all people. I'm not differentiating between internal clients and external clients. We're all people. If we are crystal clear about what our purpose is as an organization. And everybody within our organization is crystal clear about where our purpose is. Hence the brand story. The profits come. The profits will come, but they're based on the fact that everybody understands the direction that they're going. They feel that they're valued. They feel that they're listened to, understood, and valued.
You know, I would love to go here because I totally understand it. I think we're from the same worlds, operations. It's all about results because ultimately that's we get the orders out the door, you get paid, and the company can survive. So, but my question is, I mean, my thought is we establish KPIs because it's easy. It's easy to measure performance and give immediate feedback. But when you put the true outcome or purpose, it's somewhat fuzzy. And we as leaders, and I don't know where you want to go with this, fail to be able to draw the connection between what we're doing and the outcome or purpose. And that seems to be a challenge because shouldn't we be driving our people towards a purpose or an outcome? You get more engagement from your people, more creative thoughts, and aligned towards a purpose. And again, purpose is also how you interface with your external customers, where humans are connecting with humans. It's not about connecting with a KPI. Why do so many companies not connect what they're doing to the purpose or the outcome?
Because it's easier to manage by KPI. It is so much, it truly is. I'm going to say it's the lazy.
Manage versus
lead. That's it. It's a lazy style of management. You know, because you can dashboard a KPI. You can absolutely dashboard a KPI, and the manager can give that to the director can give it to the VP can give it to the EVP, and that can go up to the C-suite, and it becomes this nice, pie chart or this nice graphic that somebody can put up there and say, look, we're doing well. There you go. You can see the thing, but you're missing so much. The problem with KPIs is KPIs lead to finger pointing, they lead to blame, and they lead to scapegoats. They lead to people feeling disengaged. They feel that people are not listened to. They feel that people do not do their job because they realize they can do the minimum, still maintain the KPIs, and get paid. But as long as I do the KPIs, as long as I do my job, as long as I tick these boxes, my job is secure and my bonus is coming at the end of the year. I don't have to think. I don't have to do any extra. I don't have to be nice to people. I just have to do my job. And when we have a company full of people that are just doing their job, all of a sudden, you are a low cost, low value commodity as a company that are easily replaced and easily forgotten.
So Ben, I would love to know a time or place where, you know, have done some amazing work with some clients where you may have been dropped into a situation where there's been some rapid change or maybe some crisis. I'd love to know how you've been able to impact organizations.
Yeah. I mean, as I was saying, is what we do is we get brought into situations where there's either enormous growth, there is either, it's mergers and acquisitions, or it's, grandparents giving the grandkids companies. In one situation, and it's about a year and a half ago, I can't remember, I was going down to see a client in I think it was Houston or Dallas. I can't remember exactly where they are, but they're an SEO company. They do website development. They make sure that you are number one on your page, and they're successful at what they do. But this guy was lamenting. He goes, you know what? He says, the problem is we keep losing clients. And I said, do you want to know why? And he goes, why? He says, because you need a customer experience team that sits in between your technical people and your customer that can translate and are going to be the ones that are going to contact people on a regular basis and say, look, here's where we are. These are the things that are doing well. Here's some challenges. This is how we'd like to fix them. Here's some things we'd like to try to be able to make things better. But look at the success that we're having. If we did this and this and this, we could make it even better. Are you on board with this? And because they didn't have that team in the middle, they were losing clients left, right, and center. And they were causing frustration because all of a sudden, they're taking great technical people, having to lay them off. you know, because they didn't have the work. Though they'd have a great sales guy who'd go out and get the client. They'd do the original work. And then 3 months later, they're having to, you know, lay off somebody because they didn't have that team in place to be able to support people on the backside, because you can't have your tech support people being your customer support and your customer experience people. It's two different skill sets.
Yeah, but so often we miss the mark when we think, you know, technically we may have grown as a business and provide amazing products or services, but sometimes, again, things change, you get too big, the competitors are getting better, and you say, what do I need to do now? And to your point, I just love the point about, you know, connecting with the humans. Your humans in the past, again, when I say humans, it's the people and the relationship you have them, may have been satisfied with what you're doing. But over time, expectations change, needs change, the competition gets smarter, they're starting to take some of your clients. And you really have to understand ultimately who's in charge. It is your customers. And if they're not having the right experience, they're going to go elsewhere for that experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, you have so much energy here and so much that you've given to others. I do want to touch on one other thing because I thought this was rather interesting. You list in some of your work that you work with the Promo Kitchen Mentor Program.
Yeah.
And I see that it's working with young people in the marketing industry. And I would love to know, what is that experience like? Because obviously they're educated. You deal often with people with far more experiences. What are you seeing that these young professionals need to set them up to have the right marketing and branding experience?
Yeah, it's interesting because, as I said, I came from 20 plus years of experience in the promotional marketing industry. And, you know, I'm very different. You know, when I still do projects, and I do maybe one or two a year, it's completely custom. It's, you know, looking at a 3D printer concept, and, you know, it's stuff that is absolutely and completely unique to you, and they can't get it anywhere else. It's on brand, it's on message, it's value ridden for your clients, et cetera. But that's not the majority of the industry. The majority of the industry, let me paint a picture for you. There is a trade show every year in Vegas that I go to in January. It's at the Mandalay Bay. There is 1 million square feet of show floor. There's 13 and a half miles of actual booths. There's about 3,500 booths all selling promotional marketing things. And they all think that they have something unique and something valuable and something incredibly new and exciting. Well, the problem is, a new color could be new and exciting for them. A new printing technique could be new and exciting for them. But they're not getting the fact that they're not in the logoizing stuff business. They're in the communication industry. And that's what we need to be thinking of in the industry. I just did a webinar for the promotional marketing industry, and it was, where were you, where are you, where are you going? And I can send you a link to that. We'll get that up and running. But the one thing that I mentioned to people in the promotional marketing, and the thing is you need to differentiate yourself, and you need to understand who your clients are. You are not providing them, you know, stuff to give away. You're providing them with communication tools that help them communicate the value of the brand, be able to cement relationships with their clients, and allow for recall and retention, and to be able to tell stories about, wow, I got this amazing thing from this person. I'm going to put it on my desk and I'm going to use it. And I think it's incredible. And every time I use this, I'm going to think about the company that gave it to me. Here's a perfect example. I had a client of mine that signed $1 million deals in the computer hardware business years ago. I haven't talked to him in years. But what we did was, every year we got him 50 Mont Blanc pens that were probably $850 to $1,000 a piece. Nowhere on those pens was his logo. Okay. What we did is we got really, really nice presentation boxes built. And those presentation boxes had, it said, in appreciation, with his logo and gold foil, very classy, very understated, very nice. And when he signed the deal, He signed the deal. He gave the pen to the person, had them sign. He says, no. When they gave the pen back to him, he said, no, that pen is yours. You know, use this pen and think about our relationship moving forward. And it's how the pen is presented. And he said, you know what? Here's a box to keep it in. It's, you know, this pen, you want to make sure you keep it in a box because you want to make sure it's taken care of. Nobody forgot where they got those pens from. 10 years later, I can guarantee you, people know where they got those pens from, and the logo is nowhere to be found. And that's relationship building. And that's visceral. And that's what the promotional marketing industry, and that's what we as companies need to be. We need to have that visceral relationship with our clients where they go, I go to Ben because I know it, you know, I can trust him. I go to Deb because I know she's going to take care of me. I know that when I come to her with a problem, it may not even be in her wheelhouse, but she'll go out of her way to find me the right person to take care of me and follow up to make sure that I was taken care of, even though she's not going to make a penny off this deal. Those are the relationships we need to build with our clients. And that's what leaders need to teach their people how to do. And it's not just your salespeople, because everybody in your organization is a salesperson. Everybody in your organization is in sales because they touch people. It doesn't matter where they are or how they do it. They're touching people. When they're touching people, they're representing your brand and they're giving the best impression or the worst impression of who you are as a company.
You know, this is so powerful. There's a few people that I know listen to this podcast, and you've also inspired me just to enrich a little bit about what you say when you think about this on a personal level. There's young professionals I see also that have that mindset of, I can't, I don't think, I don't know how to, et cetera, in terms of elevating their presence and image within a company. But it's as simple as, it's not even necessarily the clothing we wear or how we can chat around the coffee, you know, station, et cetera. It's simply communicating. If we can improve our skills around simply communicating our views and leaving an impact on people on how we service them or how we connected with them, you are building your own brand. You are building a lasting legacy. That's what companies do, and that's what individuals can do. Find your unique talent in how you communicate. It's not a logo, it's not your tie, it's not your pen sometimes. It's communicate. Learn how to communicate and connect with humans. Ben, this is fantastic insight. And so many people I know will want to connect with you on this. So fantastic.
Well, it's the Maya Angelou. You know, it's Maya Angelou said it best. It says, yeah, people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Yeah.
And if you can make people feel special, they will talk about you forever.
And that's what we're supposed to do as humans, make people feel special. So this has been an amazing conversation. I do have to bring it to a close, but this is not the end of communicating with Ben. But if there's anything else you wanted to share before we bring this to the close, what would you like to say?
Yeah, there's a couple things. I've got an online leadership course called Developing the Leader in You. And I've also got two workshops. One is designed for leaders to lead remote teams effectively, and the other one is designed for employees and how to work from home effectively. And they're all available on my website. So if you go to yourbrandmarketing.com, if you go under the work with us, you know, the workshops are under the workshop section, the online course is under the online course section. But to me, it's making sure that we customize things for your company's needs. When we're building solutions, even the online course for companies, I like working with teams. And what we'll do is we'll customize it, and your people will take the online course, and then we'll develop 4, 6, 8, 12 sessions afterwards where we'll meet with them over Zoom and customize the learning to their particular needs and be able to work with them through the challenges that they're actually having in the moment. And, you know, even in the world of, I call it physical distancing, not social distancing, because we need to keep being social. It's important, you know, if I can't come to you, if I can't walk into your office and I can't shake your hand and talk to your people and look at them in the eye, that we're developing training that's going to be effective, that's going to be, you know, it's going to be personalized, and it's going to help them succeed. And that's my goal in every time. So please contact me at any time. I'll give you my phone number. It's 604-512-7174. You know, call me at any time, leave me a message. I will call you right back, I promise. Just means I'm on the other line. And, you know, my goal is to help companies succeed. That's what I'm here for.
Thank you so much, Ben. I have so much enjoyed this conversation, and I know we're going to continue it. So thank you for being a fantastic guest.
You know what? Thanks for having me, Deb.
All right. Be well. Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.